And welcome to episode 43 of the Meathead Chatter podcast. I am your host, Dan, and today I am with an old competitive friend of mine, Sean Deem. How you doing, man?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Pretty good. So, hey, man, thanks for making the time and getting on the show. I know we had a little bit of scheduling things, but yeah, what's new? You just won a contest, yeah?
Yeah, so I believe it was April 22nd, somewhere around there. It was April for sure. But I just competed in Indiana Strongest Man 2023, and it was in the men's open under 265 class until first.
Nice. And, dude, there were some pretty good people there. I was at that show. I had a lady doing her first strongman show, and there were some pretty good people in the heavyweight divisions for sure.
Oh, yeah, there were freaks in the heavyweight division. I mean, I don't know how familiar you are with some of the guys on the circuit now, but I think his name is Bryce. I can't remember his last name, but he's a big old boy, and he's only been in the sport for about like 2 or 3 years.
Right. And he was like an NFL guy or something, right?
Yeah. He I don't know who he got drafted to. I think it may have been the Colts. I could be wrong. I don't know. But he definitely got drafted, and I don't think he wasn't in for very long, and for whatever reason.
Right.
But then he picked up Strongman, and this dude, he's just, he's qualified. This is the second time he's going to be going through the Shaw Classic this year, and after only being in the sport for barely two, 3 years is just ridiculous.
Yeah, he's crazy. What? Yeah. Shit, man. Why am I talking to you? I should have called fucking Bryce.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. I was like, I don't know why he wants to talk to me.
Nah. We've known each other. We've competed. How many times have we competed against each other? We competed against each other maybe 3 times.
Yeah, I'd say 2 or 3 times. Yeah. I know you signed up for a few, and then for whatever reason, you had to just not go. But
yeah, my vagina was like super sore that day.
I think we've
gone head to head in the same division 3 times. I think I've gotten you once, and then the last 2 times, I think you whipped my ass. So.
Yeah, I mean that sounds probably about right. I'm trying to remember. I can't remember the last competition we did though. I know that it was definitely. I think all of them were at Unbreakable. I believe.
Yup. Yep. At Jim Beebe's gym down there. Yeah. I think the last one I did with you, it was like a Max Circus dumbbell, and then there was like that really cool sled pole frame carry anchor chain. Uh-huh. Thing.
Yeah, that was awesome.
That was a good show.
Yeah, that was a good turnout for that one too. At least in the heavyweight division, there was a pretty good turnout.
Yeah,
I think it was I can't remember. We had at least 4 or 5 people in our group alone
for sure. And we were in the heavyweights. And sometimes the heavyweights, you might get like 2 people. Just because there's just not that many large humans that do things in general. So,
and
I feel like half the time, let me get your opinion on this, because you still like actively compete in strongman. I'm kind of a has-been. I feel like there are so many shows that people just avoid each other to get wins. It starts to feel a little like powerlifting to me. Have you run into that?
That's kind of something that's hard to confirm unless you actually ask somebody who signed up, and you ask them, like, well, why didn't you show up? And they openly admit to, well, I didn't think I was going to win.
You know what I mean? That's because why I keep ducking from you. Man, I'm just calling myself out here. Come on, man. I'm trying to get you to throw some rocks.
I mean, I think it definitely happens. A lot of people nowadays, and again, it's my opinion, but I feel as though a lot of people nowadays, they can't take a loss. You know what I mean? Like the idea of them not winning a competition just absolutely drives them to not want to do it, because they're like, well, if I'm not going to win, then I'm not going to waste my money. Which is an awful mindset to have.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because like, that's the whole point of competition. And if you lose, it's either you lost because they were better than you, or you made mistakes, or maybe a culmination of both. You know what I mean? Like, it's not a big deal.
Right.
I don't know. Some people just can't stand the thought of losing. And I've lost plenty. You know what I mean? And if anything, that should just be a motivating factor for you to just get back in the gym, come back bigger, stronger, faster, more athletic condition, what have you.
Dude, I remember I was talking to, so I have a fair amount of clients that compete in powerlifting and some that compete in strongman as well. And it's funny, the people who are like gearing up for their first contest are so afraid to zero something. And I'm like, when did you start doing strongman?
I started in 2018, early 2018. Okay.
So I was a little before you. I started in like 2012, 2013-ish. And yeah. Dude, I remember back then, like it took me 3 novice shows to stop being a novice. That means like 3 yeah. times I got beat by the people that suck. And then it was like, so that was like 2013. I competed like 7 times or something stupid that first year because I'm an idiot, but then it took me another 2 years of competing as an open class before I ever won. And like, I just think like you can only suck at something for so long. Like, it's just a matter of time. It's just a matter of practice until you like accidentally get pretty good at it. Like that's a thing. And I feel like people just don't or aren't willing to like get through that. Oh, I suck at this phase. And I don't know what people expect, man.
It's funny you say that because we've been in the game long enough and, you know, especially with, reference the gym and, you know, all the things we've done in the fitness, which is our fitness endeavors, but technology has, I know you're a little bit older than me, but I mean, we've basically, instead of being raised on technology, which I feel like a lot of generations after us were, like, here's your iPad, leave me the hell alone, kind of thing. We grew up alongside it. So we grew up when, we were able to get on the internet and we had like all these AIM chat rooms and then cell phones started coming out and then, what have you, all these different platforms started coming out and we didn't have access to all these people hitting, like you get on Instagram and you start scrolling through your suggested feed and it's just motherfuckers pulling 1,000 pounds left and right, benching 500 pounds left and right. And they're like half my age and they've only been in the sport for like 2 years. Like,
right.
There's these freaks everywhere and you're constantly exposed to it. And I can see where younger people get discouraged, a little bit easier because it's like, well,
because it's in their face.
It's right there. It's everywhere. And so I can understand, it's not an excuse, but I can understand as to why it's a little discouraging and why they would want to they become impatient, because they see someone their age doing something impressive as hell and they're like, well, we're the same age, why can't I do that?
Yep. And in the grand scheme of things, it's like, well, there aren't a lot of people doing that. That's why. Yeah, that makes sense though. Yeah, it's so easy to have access to see world record level shit. At any second, as soon as you log into any app, you can see, like you said, 1,000-pound deadlift. I know when I've benched over 500 in competition before, and I know when I tell people that in real life, they're like, wow, that's cool. But I know I can get online, and I can see 100 people bench more than that, and it look easier than what I just did. And like, and that's a legit, like, that's a big bench press. Like, that's something that I should be proud of, but I get it because like there's a little inclining in me that's like, well, shit, it ain't 600, so is it really anything important? And I mean, not important, but impressive. So yeah, I get that. Makes sense. I could see that.
Yeah. Well, and again, to kind of piggyback off that, you know, you're sitting here saying like, you know, I bench 500 and I get online and I see X amount of people doing 500 for reps, or, you know, like 500 plus pounds for reps, 600 pounds, you know, like no problem. And when I hear you say, I mean, fuck, like, why can't I do more? I'm sitting here thinking to myself, like, 500 pounds is an elite bench. Like, that is a, like, the amount of people, you know, in this world that are in the fitness community or even just competitively in powerlifting, the amount of people that will bench 500 pounds is small. Because, I mean, like, that's just a crazy bench, and it still is. It may not,
right.
You know, it doesn't seem that way because we see it everywhere.
Well, and you're only going to get on your discovery page and stuff. On Instagram, you're following people who are the best of the best. And, you know, 500 pound bench is cool, but like, it ain't the best of the best at this point. You know, it just isn't. But in the grand scheme of things, pretty fucking good. And same thing with like some of the shit you're doing too. Like, I remember that comp where you beat me, one of the comps where you beat me, asshole. What did you hit circus dumbbell at that show? It was something gnarly.
It was gnarly for me just because I had never really pushed myself on circus dumbbell like that. But I mean, it was around 220 or 225. And, you know, looking back at the video, I probably could have hit 230, 235. I think 235 definitely would have been.
Right.
It would have been tough. But, you know, for that particular movement, I was pretty proud of that because of all the overhead lifts that we do in strongman, that one is by far the most technical.
Yeah, for sure. And it's in 230, one arm. Yeah, you're jerking, but it's a circus dumbbell. It like there are not many people hitting that. Like if you are hitting a 200 pound circus dumbbell, you're in a pretty elite class, especially in like the amateur level of strongman. But then, like you said, just as easy to go in there and watch Dimitar press 300 at the Arnold a couple years ago, you know, and how many guys are hitting over 300, but you're also like, you're a big dude, but you're a normal size dude. You ain't no 6'8", 400 pound motherfucker.
No. Yeah. I mean, comparatively to the average person, yeah, I'm a big guy. I'm 5'10", 260, 265. So by no means am I small,
right.
But, you know, it's crazy to think of. I mean, that was what, probably 3 years ago, 3 or 4 years ago almost. I think it was during 2020. You know, now, you know, that was my max then. Now I can walk into the gym now and like 200 pounds on a circus dumbbell, I could hit that any day of the week. You know,
right.
So that just kind of goes to show you where, you know, going back to these people who, you know, don't want to compete because they may not win and they're impatient, or they see other people doing numbers and they're like, well, I'll never do that. So it's like, I don't even want to bother with it. Just goes to show that consistency, you know, with this, you know, sticking to some sort of plan and showing up and putting in the work and, you know, not overdoing it from time to time, you're still able to make progress. You know what I mean?
Right.
It may not be as obvious all the time because you're not constantly going in there trying to hit one rep PRs and shit like that. At least you shouldn't be.
Right.
But, you know, for me to look back at that and recall hitting 200 for the first time during that prep thing, you're like, holy fuck, that was awesome. Now it's like I can walk into the gym today, put 200 on the circus dumbbell and hit it pretty comfortably for probably like 2 or 3 reps.
Damn.
You know, it's a lot of people are impatient. They don't want to put in the time and they want the results now. They want to be like, well, I'm doing everything he's doing, you know, supposedly, you know,
well, it's like they've been doing it for 6 months though. You've been doing it for 10 years. You know, it's
exactly. It takes time though.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Now, like there's still things that I still haven't accomplished. Like, I still have yet to pull a 700 pound deadlift from the floor. You know what I mean?
Right.
And you know, in order to be competitive, fuck, I mean, even in like the 231 class, there's guys that are pulling 700 for reps in the 231. I have 30 plus pounds on these guys, and I'm not even close to that.
Right.
You know what I mean? At the moment. So it's just wild to think that people nowadays, they're more impatient than anything, I think. And I think that's why you're seeing a lot of the younger kids is kind of doing stupid things or making stupid decisions and stuff like that.
Right.
You know, not wanting to do X, Y, and Z because it's not going to get them to point B the fastest or the safest.
Gotcha. So how did you get into all this to begin with?
So I've always had an interest in strongman. You know, I remember being a kid watching, you know, Brian Shaw, Mariusz Pudzianowski, mm-hmm. you know, Terry Holland, all these guys. And I had started in powerlifting. I got involved in powerlifting. My training, at least my junior, senior year of college, and I finally did my first competition after I graduated college. And then rolled around 2018. I met my ex, and she had already done a strongman competition. And so basically, she was kind of the one that gave me the kick in the ass to
try
to do it. And she was a good avenue in regards to, well, where do I need to go to get involved? You know what I mean?
Right.
Because she had already done a strongman competition. So with me having an interest in strongman and then also having that individual who had been involved in the sport to help me get connected with it, that's how I ended up getting involved in strongman.
Nice, man. So yeah. So how long have you been competing in strongman then?
Since 2018.
So okay.
Five years. Yeah.
Five, six. Yeah. Dang, man. All right. So you feel like you're getting to your peak? You feel like you still got a long way to go?
I mean, if you ask me, I still feel like I have a long way to go, but I think that's just...
Yeah, I think so, too. You're still pretty young. Wait, how old are you?
31.
Okay, yeah. Oh, yeah. I felt like I was kicking the shit out of people till I got to be, like, 37.
I just turned 31 back in March. So I feel like... I definitely feel like I have quite a bit more competitive years left in me. You know, obviously, the goal is to do it as long as possible.
Right. And then, dude, at Nationals, what was it, like 2 years ago? Didn't you get, like, second? You podiumed at Nationals, didn't you?
Yeah. 2021, went to Nationals for the first time. It wasn't the first time I had ever qualified, but it was the first time I had ever actually gone.
Gotcha.
So, went there, you know, and in my mind, I'm thinking, man, it would just be so fucking cool if I just podiumed. Because in my mind, I'm thinking it's the best of the best that are going to be there. You know, and I'm holding all these, I'm just imagining these freaks of nature going to show up.
And on the amateur side, it kind of is, isn't it?
I mean,
or I guess that'd be the
honestly,
Arnold.
No. And that's not to be disrespectful at all, but it's one of those things where at least a few years ago, it's not difficult to qualify for Nationals. It's not. You know what I mean? As long as you have two people in your group, you know, you could be you could be nothing special, and then someone else in your group also be like their first time competing or second.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, what happened? And you could edge that person out just because you maybe have two more competitions under your belt than them.
Right. But then still, if you go to Nationals, it kind of like you, man, you qualified a number of times, but you chose not to go for whatever reason. Maybe it was just because you didn't think the weights were going to be there or you were busy or whatever. But I feel like people who go and they're badass, or the people who qualify and think they're badass, typically end up, I mean, I would think going. And if it's just a bunch of the people that qualified that maybe aren't that great, I mean, you know, the cream's still going to rise to the top. So,
like I said, you know, no disrespect to, you know, anyone who goes, but there are people there that, I would never say that they don't deserve to be there. Obviously they deserve to be there. They earned that bit. You know what I mean? So I would never take that away from them. But just as far as, you know, their strength level, their skill level, stuff like that, they still have a ton of room for improvement. And we all do, you know, being real here. Like, I'm not saying I fucking know everything. I'm the best at everything. Cause that's obviously not true. You know, there were a lot of guys that were there that they struggled big time, you know. And so going into it, in my mind, I was just thinking, man, it would be so fucking cool, the podium. Like, that would just be insane. And I had, you know, leading up to that time, I had podiumed every competition I had ever been in. I hadn't won every single one, but I had podiumed. And I had yet to zero anything, too. So
you were on a pretty good year mentally, too, right?
Yeah. I mean, I don't recall
coming off some wins.
You know, I started in 2018. I came in second, my first competition, novice, and then I won my second competition in novice. So then I got booted out of novice and had to go in open. But I had, since 2018, leading into 2021, I had always podiumed. You know what I mean?
Nice.
So, and I had never zeroed an event either. So I go to, in 2021, I go to nationals, and I'm thinking it would just be so fucking cool to podium, even if it's third. Like, I don't care, because in my mind, I'm thinking I got third place out of the nation, where, you know, the best of the best showed up in the men's under 265, and I'm competing against that. And after, you know, day one is out of the way, and I'm in first place by like a point or two or something like that, and I'm thinking to myself, holy fucking shit, well, I could end up winning this thing.
Right.
You know what I mean? So day two rolls around, and I remember the event. It was an axle cleaning press from the floor with 315. You had to clean each rep.
Oof.
And then there was a stupid fucking wheelbarrow thing where you had to. I mean, you just picked up a heavy ass wheelbarrow and had to rush down 50 feet as fast as you could, and then I think it was like an 810 pound yoke for 60 feet down and 60 feet back, fastest time.
That's a pretty heavy yoke for like 100 foot, 120 foot.
Fuck yeah, it is. And I hate yokes.
I do too. Yoke kills me.
Yeah, I could go the rest of my strongman career without doing a yoke event, and I would be perfectly happy. But so that was day two, and I was like, man, I didn't know really what to expect for the wheelbarrow. Just because I don't have access to one. So it's kind of like you have to find ways to try to simulate, you know, that type of movement, that type of event. So I didn't know how that was going to go. It went all right. I ended up, I think I dropped it like twice. And I think the big reason why that was I started kind of like veering off the course a little bit. So that threw me off.
Oh, nice. That's not good.
And then the yoke, I knew yoke, I was going to lose points in the yoke. So in my mind, I set small, just like personal goals with the yoke. I was like, okay, we're not going to drop it, and I want a sub 40 time. You know what I mean?
Right.
And I was able to do that while there were other people that were smashing it in like under right around 30 seconds. It was ridiculous. But in the axle clean press, at the time, I absolutely hated axle clean press. I hate it. And now it's like it's probably my best overhead event, because every competition I've done for the past year and a half has a fucking axle clean press. I had to get good at it.
Right.
I ended up, I think I got like two or three reps or something like that. So nothing spectacular, but I ended up, long story short.
From the floor, three reps with 315 is pretty nasty.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm comparing myself now.
Right.
To that.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's like, fuck, I could have banged out probably like four or five reps. You know what I mean? No problem taking first place. But,
are you planning on going this year then, since you qualified from Indiana Strongest Man?
Yeah. Yeah. I plan on going. This year. I was there last year. The last year was fucking, it was a nightmare. But plan on going this year. At the same venue, so it's kind of like I'm kind of looking at it as though as like a redemption arc kind of thing. You know what I mean? So
where is it?
Year. Erie, Pennsylvania.
Okay.
Yep.
Good on them for picking like an awesome, cool tourist destination, eh?
Yeah, I had never been before, so I'm assuming you've probably been there.
I don't know. It's just not some place you hear about people competing. Like, what is it? Is it? What's the one that's down in Daytona every year?
Clash on the Coast.
Yeah, like the clashes are always cool places. It's not Ultimate Strongman. It's Lynn Morehouse. It's his one.
Down Florida.
It's going to bug the crap out of me.
There's so many competitions nowadays, and like promoters, it seems like more and more nowadays promoters are just going all out, which is really cool. But they're going all out for hyping these shows up. So sometimes it's kind of hard to, you know, keep track of like what all the big shows are going on and shit like that.
Like Strongman Corp used to go like Vegas and shit, like Erie, Pennsylvania. Is that just where the meat director lives or something? Like,
you know what? I have no idea. I'm not upset about it at all because it's like a 7-hour drive.
Oh, that's so, not bad.
It's not bad at all. So it's back in Erie, Pennsylvania, which is really cool. So it's not too far. And it's a really, I thought it was a pretty, area, you know, and the venue is literally right on Lake Erie, which is
really cool.
Yeah. It's a pretty neat venue. So that's where it's at this year. It's in October, which I assume that's where that's, you know, the time of month that it occurs every year. Cause that's where it's been the past 3 years. So that's in October, which, damn, now I'm kind of thinking about it. It's not too far away.
Dude, are you, you probably not competing again before then, are you? Damn.
I'm not.
We have a badass comp coming, that my gym's hosting, in August.
I remember you telling me about it.
Just come and do the log.
Just the log.
So we have it was the one that Bobby Thompson set the American record on. It's like he signed it and everything.
Oh, yeah.
It's 285 empty, and that's the log we're going to be using once people get over 285. It's like, yeah, it's like 10 foot long. Like it's massive.
Oh God.
It's so cool. Yeah, I'm going to train log just to do it so I can get a picture.
I remember you telling me about it. And you're listing off all the events. I'm like, fuck, this sounds awesome.
Dude, that's the thing with Strongman, though. Like, man, there's so many, because there's so much variety, like, there's so many cool events out there or, like, things that you want to try that you haven't tried before. That's why I ended up competing so many times that first year or two. It's like, just, I always wanted to do a new thing. And powerlifting is like, oh, I'm just in a different city doing the same shit, you know?
That's how I did a lot of my decision making when it came to picking out competitions early in my quote career,
right?
Quote as a strongman. I would look at comps and be like, man, I've never done a Hercules hold, or man, I've never done a stony shoulder or a truck pull or anything like that. And I was like, well, that's kind of like the big selling factor for me right there. Like that's the one I want to do. I like the other events too, but they have this one. There was always one that I was like, I want to do that so bad. I have no idea how I'm going to train for it. I don't give a fuck, but I want to do it just to say that I finally did it.
We're setting up, we tested out what we were pulling, this competition. It was depending on weight class, you were going to pull something different, but everybody was able to pull the dump trucks. So we're gonna have two dump trucks and be able to go head to head and have like legit foot races, which is gonna be dope as fuck. Because I've been to a lot of shows where I've done truck pulls, but it's like, you know, if there's two people going at the same time, it's like someone's got a truck, someone's got a semi. Like it's not really head to head. So I'm excited to have like some actual head to head pulling going on.
Yeah, no, that sounds really cool. And honestly, it's kind of like a. It's a breath of fresh air if you think about it in terms of that event itself, because typically they can only resources only allow them to have maybe one semi or one fire truck or whatever. So for you guys to be able to pull together and get two dump trucks and actually have a side by side truck pull race is pretty fucking cool.
And have the space to do it too. I feel like that's a lot of times a limiter too. It's like, how much space are you going to have to fit two, trucks in there for 100 foot or whatever we're doing. So that's me. I'm just still trying to lure you over, but.
Oh, you're trying to suck me in, aren't you?
Trying.
Yeah, no, I, uh, it crossed my mind big time. It really did. And now I was like, if I'm going to do any other show before Nationals, it would be that one. But it's in late August.
Yeah, I think we're August 5th. But, I mean, that's still decently close to Nationals. And you're trying not to fuck anything up before Nationals, and you're more likely to fuck something up at a competition. I totally get it. Like, especially you're going to Nationals not just to do Nationals. Like, you're going to try to podium and win and, like, get Nationals, you know? So I get it. I won't push you.
No, you're good, man. Like I said, if it had happened sometime like earlier, so like June or July,
right,
I definitely would have been way more inclined to do it. But yeah, this year, just to kind of with everything that happened at Nationals last year, like my performance just being absolute shit.
Yeah, you're trying to really dial in.
Like this year, that's all I fucking care about is winning Nationals. And then after that, I plan on doing another powerlifting meet before the end of the year. And trying to, just improve upon my total from what I got back in February. So I did my first powerlifting meet in 5 years back in February of this year.
What'd you hit?
I think it was like a 1750 total.
Damn.
So nothing wild, but I mean, I hit
better than me, but I can't squat worth shit. So that's probably where you ate me alive.
So I mean, I squatted 600. It was like 600.1 because I used Tommy units.
Right.
You know what I mean? For the kilograms. And, so I squatted it was like 600.1 pounds and it was pretty smooth. I probably could have hit it for a double. Nice. And then, but I had never squatted 600 pounds before. And I tell you what, powerlifting, like it's cool. But fuck me, dude. It's so boring.
It is.
It's so boring.
Dude, I take naps during the flights that I'm not competing in when I compete in powerlifting. Like it is 8 hours if it's a quick meet. Like it's crazy.
Yeah. I mean, so like meet day is fine, but I like just the train, coming from strongman, you know, after doing strongman for so long,
right,
and then going back to powerlifting, I'm like, good God, it's like, oh, what? As far as it's literally just the same three movements day in, day out, and my body was fucking hating me, like my hips, my shoulders, compared to strongman, which right. You know, I think a big reason was why I wasn't nearly as banged up from strongman.
So much variety.
I had that variety, exactly. I'm moving on so many different planes and, you know, in training and being able to train in so many different capacities as opposed to just static. And so it beat me the fuck up. But it was fun. I ended up squatting 600 pounds, which was really cool. That 600 pounds has always been the number I wanted to hit for the longest time. But that's with strongman, it's just, well, I mean, you know, strongman squatting really isn't like at the forefront.
You know? You need strong legs, but you need more like rep strong legs, not like max strong legs.
Yeah. And I'm a big advocate for front squats. Front squats will carry over better than any back squat into strongman. I don't care who you are. I'll die on that fucking hill. You know, for the front squat. So I love front squats. But I squatted 600. I benched, I think it was like 434 or something like that. And then I deadlifted 672. So that was pretty cool. All those were PRs for me as far as as far as the deadlift goes. That was definitely a raw deadlift PR. But you know, before then, heaviest I had deadlifted from the floor was 675 at the Arnold in 2022,
right.
Where I had to pull, you know, and that's with, you know, figure eights, two belts, you know, all that shit.
Can hit you if you need to. Yep.
Yeah, so I mean, and I pulled it for at the Arnold. It was a medley. It was a three bar medley. So you had a power bar and an axle bar from the floor at 675, and then it jumped to like a fucking 800 pound, 13 axles. Yeah, I didn't budge that motherfucker.
It was just there to make fun of you.
I strapped in. I rolled it around a little bit. I was like, yeah, I'm good. I hit the power bar and the axle from the floor at 675. So basically a double with 675 all strapped in and shit.
Dude, and then, that's nice.
the powerlifting meet that I did, you know, I was able to pull 672 with a hook grip, you know, and just a hard belt. So I thought that was pretty cool. But yeah, I'm glad I did it. It was fun, and I definitely had planned on doing at least two this year because I paid for the damn membership.
Right.
You know what I mean? So
what Fed was that?
Well, I would say the pedo one, but they're all pedos now.
Oh, the USPA one?
Sure. I don't know which one.
One of the pedo ones.
Yeah, I mean, like they're all touching kids and it's fucking gross, but whatever. Yeah, I don't, I think it was USPA. I think so.
Yeah.
I could go look at
them. They're the ones that have the most recent heat.
Yeah, so USPA, it was up in it was a Rockwell Barbell up in Chicago.
Okay.
Yeah, it was a pretty neat venue. Aside from Chicago itself, the gym was cool.
Right.
Chicago is. Yeah, so that was I did that, and then I did Indiana Strongest Man. That was our first competition, first strongman competition since Nationals the year prior.
God, you make me have the itch to like fucking try to compete in strongman again. I'm a masters now, so I can do light shit now.
No, don't see, that's the thing. I would call your ass out so hard for competing in masters when you know damn well you're too strong for masters and you can hang with us.
Well, that is nice of you to say.
Don't try to be modest with me. All right. I see your training videos and shit.
I just swing shit now. I don't even do heavy things. I just swing clubs and shit.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, about that, you know, I don't know a whole lot about it, obviously. I think I understand, you know, like, what the goal is from it. But, like, what got you into that particular training?
So, I was prepping for Worlds last year, for IPL Worlds for powerlifting. And, yeah. I kind of tweaked my back, ended up that I was having a bulging disc. Like there'd be days where I couldn't pull 500 from the floor and I was looking at pulling 7 at this meet. And I was like, well, fuck. Okay. Well, I still want to compete. My back's jacked up. So like, my squat dropped about 100 pounds too. So I was, you know, only squatting like maybe just a touch over 5 without like serious pain. And then, so everything was going good, man. I was looking at like a 600 plus squat. Cause I don't give a shit about squats. It is what it is. And I was looking at a 500 bench and I was looking at a 700 pull. Like that's what I was going to get at this meet. That was in my head. And, then I got that bulging disc and just lost 200 pounds off my total. I'm like, dude, I'm not spending $1,000 to travel and go to Worlds just to like total 200 pounds less than what I did to fucking get there, you know? So I was like, maybe I'll do bench. I'm like, well, I'm dropping some body weight, so my raw bench isn't going to be as cool as it once was. And mentally, like, I just don't like hitting lower weights than I've hit before. Like, that sucks. I was like, oh, let's fuck around with some, like, shirted benching. So I got one of those F8, like, band shirts, like, the fucking gnarly ones that people are hitting like 1200 pounds plus with on bench, which is just crazy.
They're like 700 pound bench pressers raw, but they fucking,
yeah, you like that shirt. Once you get good at it, you should be able to like double what you like. Jimmy Kolb is kind of the top bencher right now, basically, because he's built like a fucking bolt. He's built like Kirby.
Oh yeah, dude, he's as round as he is.
Not
oh,
taking man. Anything away from him, he is strong as fuck. Even raw, he is strong as fuck. But dude, he is like range of motion god on bench, just because of how he's built, and that helps, you know.
Yeah. Absolutely.
But man, he's doing like 1200 for triples and shit. Like it's stupid. So I got that shirt and I was fucking around with it. I hit 585, 600, 605. I was like pushing up. I hit 635 for a triple. And then I was going for a triple. I hit it for a double, cause I'd hit 615 for a triple super easy. So I went 635, 1, 2, and then just kind of fucked it up. And, I had the safety set. I don't really lift with anybody. I have like mono arms to like, so I don't have to worry about lift outs or whatever, but I didn't have the safety bars set quite right. So I had to kind of like shimmy my way and like pry myself out from under the bar, and it fucked my shoulder up. And yeah, so I was like, damn it, I can't bench, I can't squat, I can't deadlift. Like, this is stupid. I hate everyone. Yeah. I'm, you know, it just was not a great time. And I had been fucking with maces and clubs a little bit just because they look cool. And I was like, you know what? Yeah. I can still do this shit, and it's supposed to be good for like rehab type things. So I didn't touch a barbell, like a heavy barbell lift for like 6 months, and just did a fuck ton of clubs and kettlebells and like bodybuilding stuff. And dude, I like it. I just did a competition a couple weeks back where part of it was like swinging maces and stuff, and it's fun. It's I mean, Chris Duffin's been big about them for a while. But dude, like my shoulder mobility is killer. It's my shoulder's bulletproof, man. There's so much like connective tissue work that you don't get unless you're doing things rotationally that you get with this. So yeah, I dig it.
Yeah, and I figured that was probably the big reason why you were doing it. It was more for like rehabilitative purposes and also maybe even just prehab stuff. You know what I mean? That way whenever you do get back under the barbell, and you do, if you ever do decide to kind of like push it a little bit, you know, it's like, well, I spent all this time doing all this rehabilitative work and working with this shoulder mobility and all this stuff and strengthening my shoulders and the smaller muscles inside by doing all this mace work. Like in theory, you know, it could be easier for you to ease back into that type of training when and if you do decide to do it. So I figured that was probably the biggest reason why you got so heavy into it. And then, you know, just, you know, the longer you did it, you're like, this is fucking awesome.
Right.
Cool. I like it.
Dude.
You
know, then you just, it is fun.
You know, you like it.
I put a program out on my app. It's 531 ish, but I'm big on like alternating linear periodization. And one of the alternating things is like 1 week is a strict overhead press with barbell. The next week is like heavy, like club swing. I like to swing them heavy, dude. There's only a handful of us in the States that can swing a 100-pound club. I think part of that's just due to like strong people not really into it yet. And the other part is just not a lot of people have a 100-pound club, and they're like expensive, so a lot of people don't own them. But coming from strength into that, like I've kind of blown up in like that mace club community just because like I'm moving shit that people that do functional training or whatever typically don't move. And so it's been cool just to kind of delve into that world. But yeah, man, I like to train those things as heavy as I can, you know, heavy for like sets of 10 each side, not like one rep maxes or anything. But yeah, it's fun. It's kind of taken the place of like my shoulder accessory work. Like I don't really do lateral raises or front raises or anything like that anymore.
Yeah. I remember for a while, because, you know, like some things come and go in like in the fitness community as far as trends and stuff. And I remember when doing those shoulder swings or shoulder rotations and stuff, just that movement in general, maybe not particularly with a mace, but, you know, when Chris Duffin came onto the scene and he's, you know, the shoulder rock and all this stuff, you know, I distinctly remember being like, makes sense. So, you know, the gym I train at now, we have a sledgehammer there, and I would use it to, you know, simulate, you know, I think it's like a 5-10 pound sledgehammer, so nothing crazy.
Yeah, but, it doesn't take much.
No, it doesn't. And the thing is, like, you need to do it right, though, to get anything out of it, you know what I mean? So, and if something like that, it doesn't seem like it would be easy to fuck up, but I know it is. And also just, like, understanding what it is we're trying to get out of this movement. So,
I think,
you know, I would
powerlifters and like strength athletes, I think like as warm up, like it opens up your lats, like on an overhead day, like just whipping out some 360s, and you don't need a mace. You can do it with like a fucking 45-pound plate. You can do it with a kettlebell. You can do it with a dumbbell, like just to get that stretch, get your lats opened up and get your upper back turned on. Like, dude, I like it. It's super helpful. I use it on all my clients. Warm up or cool down or both with it. And then a lot of my general fitness people actually have it in their workout, kind of like a CrossFit style type circuit with those in there as part of it too. And it's fun, man.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, and I don't know if you're the same way, but, you know, I would I would assume, in order to be successful in any kind of strength sport, you have to become a student of it. At least that's my opinion.
Right.
And that's another big reason why I love strongman so much, is because a lot of the movements that we do have some sort of story behind them. Or, right. You know what I mean? They had a purpose at one point in time. It wasn't just, hey, pick that big rock up and sit it on that ledge there just for shits and gigs. It's like, no, back in, like the Netherlands, just Scandinavia, Norway, Scotland, Ireland, they had fucking manhood stuff. And it's like, if you can pick that rock up and put it on that wall right there, I'll consider you a man. So I always thought that it's so barbaric and primitive, but I thought it's a really fucking cool thing about some of the events that we do. There's a story and history behind it. But with the mace or club swinging, I feel like, and I could be wrong, but as far as like its origin goes, I feel like it's a pretty big training method in like India or something.
So it's like over 3,000 years old. It was originally used to train fighters and competitive stuff. It became wrestling, and I actually did a podcast yesterday that'll come out before this one with a dude named Adam Hicks that's very into the history of it. And I feel like there's a very, if you like strongman, like that primal shit from like just picking up a sandbag and running around with it, or a stone or whatever, like that kind of man shit feeling you get, dude, it's the same when you're swinging one of those heavy things. You're like, oh yeah, this is what's supposed to fucking happen. Like it's that kind of style.
I don't know. I would assume there's maybe some kind of difference just from like how I see like the maces and clubs that I see being swung over there, or those by who like practice it in its, I don't want to say purest form, but you know what I mean?
It is,
people that are, the way you're swinging it compared to how they're swinging it and what they're swinging. I mean, is there really... is there any sort of kind of like, I don't want to say custom, but is there anything, I don't know, like I wouldn't expect you to have a mace that looks anything like what they're using, or like the traditional mace.
The more fitness steel mace kind of things is what I typically use. Traditionally, it's a bamboo stock with like a rock or concrete on the end, so the torque is actually more, because the handle itself is considerably lighter too. And then they do kind of the swing where like they kind of drag it across their back to finish it when it's real heavy, essentially like doing a hitch deadlift instead of like a clean deadlift. It's kind of like that.
When they're bringing it back to the front, they're kind of like dragging it up the shoulder and kind of like leveraging it over the shoulder.
And that's just something that happens when things get heavy enough. Like I think I can get like 2 reps with my 100-pound club before I start dragging it on myself, just because my wrist strength isn't strong enough to like stabilize it for that long. But
fuck, dude, 100 pounds, like swinging it like that, like I couldn't do it. I couldn't, and if I did, I'd probably either fucking... my ego would probably push me to try it and do it, just because, you know what I mean? Like, I'm just...
dude,
like,
I'm going to show up at your gym with a bunch of clubs, and we're going to fuck around one of these days.
Dude, I'd be down. That'd be sweet. I would have no problem with that at all, because it looks interesting. It looks neat. And, it's impressive nonetheless, because, a lot of people would look at that and be like, well, he's just, like, he's not really doing a lot. But again, for those of us who have been in the game long enough and understand and respect what it takes to do certain things, but for the body...
well, and dude, it's not the same as like a maximal deadlift. Like, it's not. It's a different modality. It's not meant for a 1 rep max. But you get going heavy enough with it, you definitely feel a lot of things happening holistically in your body, just because you're moving through so many different planes of motion. It's like max distance Husafell carry, or like carry a stone and load it over a thing. It's not the same as doing a max squat, but it doesn't mean it's not as cool as a max squat. It's doing a lot of different things, and it's helpful in different ways,
Oh yeah. No, I mean, cool is what is cool and what's not cool is completely subjective. In strongman, some people think, a static hold event is the coolest fucking thing ever. Well, I think it's the absolute dumbest fucking event.
I agree. Even though I always win those, I still hate them. They're stupid.
All those masoning you do and shit. Why you win them? Right. But I but unless it's like a Hercules hold or something like that, where something visually it's very stimulating.
Right.
It's different, but you know, and no knock on Jim or anything like that. I love Jim. I love his shows. And I love Unbreakable. But when he had us do the fucking hay bale hold, like God. Like, yeah. You remember that?
Dude, I feel like he always has one event where I'm like, why? Like, there's always one event where it's like, maybe it's harkening back to like more old time strongman, which I get, and I get the history and that's cool. But there's always like one event where I'm like, ugh, can we just not do that one?
Yeah. And you know what? It's funny to say, because I've talked to Jim, and you know, I mean, plenty of times, because obviously I feel like that's where I've done the majority of my comps.
Right.
Jim.
So convenient. It's like 20 minutes from you.
Yeah. So I mean, but what you're saying is entirely true. You know, he's a big fan of trying to incorporate something from the past or something new and different to the sport, or at least at the time he was, because I don't think he's not hosting any comps this year. If I'm not mistaken.
Hmm.
But I mean, for God's sakes, I think it was last year. It was I think it was Magnus Mayhem. He had a card, like playing card pairing.
I saw that. I was like, I'm not doing that.
Oh, dude, I was that. You know how I was talking about how there's always like one event.
The tug of war was like that too. There was another year where we had tug of war. I was like, I don't want to do that.
No, dude, like that. So the tug of war was fucking awesome. And then I saw the card tearing. I was like, I got to do it. Like, I was so ready to go on Amazon and just order a box full of fucking playing cards.
Practice. Dude.
Yeah, I'm just going to.
One thing about the clubs and maces, since you brought up the tearing cards, is holy shit, I have never done anything my entire life that challenges my grip like that.
Like, I'm not surprised.
I feel like my grip is better than it has ever been my entire life. Like, I don't think it's possible for me to drop a deadlift. Like, my back, my glutes, my hamstrings, that will for sure be my limiting factor on any deadlift I ever do. It will never be my grip. And my grip used to be kind of an issue on it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's not surprising, though. I mean, when you think about, you know, the movement in and of itself, you know, you're having to, one, obviously not drop the damn thing when you're bringing it around the backside of your body.
Right.
But the load is going to be the furthest away from, you know, your hands as possible at all times. Mm-hmm. But when it's the downward force, as opposed to, well, hell, even holding it up straight.
Right.
Like you're activating your wrist, your muscles, your hands, just in order to keep it stable. You know what I mean? So, really doesn't matter at any particular point in time of the movement, you know, your grip is going to be getting taxed, and your grip, it doesn't take much. I think a lot of people, whenever they train their grip, they tend to overdo it a little bit.
Right.
Because it doesn't take much to, really do some good work, in regards to improving your grip strength and stuff like that. And there's different forms of grip strength too, which is really neat seeing kind of like again, all these trends and stuff, mm-hmm. a lot of people getting big into like Captains of Crush or, doing these, just fancy feats of strength.
Hub lifts and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like, there's a, I don't know what the federation's called. It's like, arm lifting.
Arm lifting.
Yes. Yeah. And so I saw some dude, I think it was at the Arnold this past year. They had like a championship. There were some dudes, multiple guys, that were deadlifting over 500 pounds, double overhand on a fucking axle bar.
That's crazy.
And making it look effortless too, and doing the same thing, not 500 pounds on a Saxon bar, but you know what a Saxon bar is, right?
Mm-hmm. I've had to deadlift that asshole. Yeah.
Yeah. Dudes that are pulling, you know, 300-400 pounds on that thing, I'm like, I can't even deadlift barely 300 pounds on a fucking axle with my little baby hands.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, and here you guys are just literally taking this thing out 500 plus pounds on an axle bar, double overhand.
That's crazy.
It's ungodly. It's ungodly. And making it look effortless. I'm like, good God. And the captain's a crush is really cool. And seeing some of the things on Instagram that people are doing with like 45-pound plates, like picking them up from the ground by the hub itself, yep. Not and then look, I can't remember his name. He was at Brian Shaw's gym probably about like a month or two ago, but they were doing some grip stuff, and they would literally grab a 45-pound plate, and they would kind of like almost like a plate flip.
Yeah.
So they would flip.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, I couldn't, like, one, I'm not brave enough to do something like that. There's no fucking way. I would definitely end up hurting myself somehow. And, but I can't even pick one up like that from the ground. Like,
right.
There's no, like, I can't.
Yeah, because how often do you train, like, your fingertip strength, right? Like, that's what it is. It's like a pinch grip.
Exactly. So you have a crush and you have a pinch, and they're two totally different types of strength. And
yeah.
It's so cool to see how diverse the strength community has become, or it's more apparent now because, you know, with social media and everything like that, people are just sharing
right.
all the different things that they're doing. So like all this arm lifting, the grip stuff, you know, all the arm wrestling. I don't know if you like,
dude, back when I've
been to that,
back when I bounced, sometimes wall, it's World Arm Wrestling League. That's like the one that's on ESPN4 or whatever. Dude, I'll watch that shit. They'd show up from like midnight to like 3. I would not do my job. I would just watch that. It was so cool. It's so like mano a mano. Like you're 6 inches from this other dude and you're just trying to like, it is a different thing than like lifting in a competition. It's just so intense.
It is, but it's also, and again, this is just me being a nerd about it. It's so fucking technical. It is so technical. Like I used to do it when I was in like elementary school, because that was just like what young boys did, you know, like let's arm wrestle to see like who's the strongest and stuff like that, you know, pretty natural thing. But nowadays it's like, you know, I'm sure you've experienced it before, but you know, you go to a bar,
everyone wants to arm wrestle you.
Everyone wants to fucking arm wrestle you. It's like, God damn it. You know, it's like, I don't, it's like, I'm going to tell this guy no, and he's going to call me a bitch, and it's like, whatever. But at the same time, in my head, I'm thinking like, dude, I have seen so many things go wrong with arm wrestling because people don't know how to do it safely, that I'm good. Because one, the last thing I need to happen is for either one of us to tear a rotator cuff or snap a forearm or like whatever. You know what I mean? Like, it ain't that deep. But, you know, like, it's so technical, and just seeing how they train is so interesting. It's so interesting. And just like all the different things to keep in mind, you know, when they're training for arm wrestling in general. Like, you don't realize how complex a sport really is until you get into the thick of it, you know?
Right.
And so it's really neat seeing all these different strength sports just kind of like get, you know, have their that 15 seconds of fame, if you will. You know, they're being brought to the light, and it's really interesting. You know, it's like I watch these guys train arm wrestling, and I'm thinking like, I low key kind of want to get into it,
dude. I feel like awesome. If you're a strength athlete and you get out of your strength sport, you're either gonna do jiu-jitsu or you're going to do arm wrestling. That's kind of the trajectory for people. So, you know, when you're ready to retire, you know what's next.
Yeah, well, it's funny you say that, though, because, you know, I have wanted to get into jiu-jitsu for years now, for the longest time. And honestly, a big reason for that is because I enjoy combat sports. They're fun. Yep. And the carryover from that into my career would be like fucking unreal. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, a lot of things that I do, I like to remind myself that what I'm doing here will, you know, carry over into my day-to-day activities, my day-to-day life.
Well, and dude, as you know, you're a law enforcement officer, and it's like being a big jacked dude allows you to de-escalate situations just by your presence. You know, I remember that when I was bouncing, I never had to be the mean bouncer because I was 280 pounds, you know, like people would just chill.
Exactly. You know, it's, I can't tell you how many times I've shown up on scene and, you know, people acting rowdy and shit. And, you know, it's a bit of a humble brag, but
right.
You know, I show up on scene and they're like, well, I guess I'll calm down.
We're cool now. We're cool.
Yeah.
They'll start talking shit like, oh, look at the big cop over there, but they're done fighting.
Exactly. Like, well, you guys are, you know, the problem, you know, you guys can talk shit to me all you want as long as you guys are fucking done doing whatever dumb shit you're doing. Like, I don't give a fuck.
That's why I was, when I worked in corrections, I was like, you can, like, they'd call you every word under the sun as they back up and walk back into their cell, but first, you know, like, that's fine. Oh, yeah, Run your mouth, dude. Talk as much shit as you want. You're going in the cell. No, I'm cool.
Yeah, that's always the best. Like, they run their mouths as they're walking away from you. It's like, yeah, okay, like, I...
Go to your cell. You can't fucking tell me to go to myself, you punk-ass bitch, as I walk backwards into my cell.
Like, yeah, and you're right behind them following them, and you close the door, and they're still running their mouth.
Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah, then they run their mouth more because it's like, ooh, the door's shut. He can't get me now.
Hey, it's no different when you put someone in handcuffs, man.
Oh, that's like, so funny.
You put someone in handcuffs, they're either going to become the biggest crybaby bitch, or...
they're going to be the hardest motherfucker in the world.
Yeah, well, yeah, the best dynamic is when they go from acting tough as nails, and you slap cuffs on them, and then they're crying for their mama.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, yeah, like, okay, man, come on now. Like if you,
like, well, it's like, dude, you don't got to pretend like you're caught. Yeah, man, like, it's done. Like, we both know what's happening here. You're just, it's fine. No one's watching. You're good.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. Like, I'm not going to tell anybody, okay? It's fine, dude. You know? But, yeah, I mean, yeah, so, you know, going back to the jiu-jitsu, I feel like you said, a lot of strength athletes are either doing both, and they're trying to balance both, which I feel like, hard. For me, my goals, it would be hard because my goals right now are so still, like, very much set on strongman, that I don't want to make any other sort of sacrifice. I've tried to mitigate making any more sacrifices than what I already do in order to achieve what I want to achieve in the strongman, field. So,
yeah.
But I definitely, jiu-jitsu, I would love to get into it. Definitely one of those things on my list of things to do once I've kind of gotten my strongman fix out of me, which who knows how long that'll last.
Right.
And then, I don't know, even getting back into powerlifting, I thought after I hit that 1750 total after, you know, my first competition after not competing in it for 5 years.
Right.
I'm thinking, man, it would be really cool to try to hit once you start something, you kind of start to think a little bit and you start kind of making these goals. Like, man, I think like a raw 2K total would be fucking sweet.
Dude, honestly, with your build, you're actually built better for powerlifting than strongman. You really are. With your arm length, like your bench, like there's, the only reason you're not benching 500 is because, like, you do a lot of overhead work and not a ton of, like, normal bench. Like, you just don't have, like, the skill acquisition yet on it. Like, you'd be a nasty bencher. Yeah. And you already have such a good back from strongman. Like, your deadlift's going to be good. Like, it, you would be, but you're also 31 and there's only so many years you can be at peak strength. And it's like, do you want that for strongman or do you want that for powerlifting? And to some degree, you got to kind of pick a lane, you know?
Exactly. And with my goals with strongman, you know, it kind of puts a little bit more pressure on, you know, like whatever other goals I may have for whatever, you know, strength sport. So after this year for Strongman Corporation, this is going to be my last run at the men's under 265 national title.
You gonna go big?
Fuck no, dude. I can't. Like, like you know, I'm 5'10" and already in 260, 265 pounds. Getting bigger just doesn't make a whole lot of sense, especially for my job and my everyday life. Like being big, that would just honestly, I feel like that would have a bigger impact and a negative impact on my just honestly overall quality of life.
Right.
And even performance, you know, in strongman and stuff, if I were to try to really push that weight envelope. So I don't want to do that. So my plan was, and this is all, you know, everyone has a plan until they get punched in the mouth, right? But so the plan that I have laid out now is this will be my last year at Men's 265 for Strongman Corporation. And then I would like to do a powerlifting meet before the end of the year. If I qualify for the Arnold 2024 and they are keeping the same weight classes that they did this past year, because for the first time, they had whatever weight class they had at Nationals, they had for the Arnold, which was really fucking cool.
Nice.
Because when I did the Arnold, I was with all the missing links and Sasquatches and shit.
Right.
At 5'10", 270 pounds. You know what I mean? Where everyone else is fucking 6 foot plus, 300 plus. And I'm just like, all right, this is cool.
Dude, that was like every open competition the first 5 years I could, like, I forget the time, but like there wasn't, it was like 231 and under, 231 and over for the first number of years that I competed. And I'm like 6 foot tall and like 270. So like very similar to your size. And you're right, dude. It's, I remember watching videos and watching myself lose on a yoke carry when my feet are moving faster than the other guy, just cause every step was like 6 inches different. So he had to take like half the steps I did to finish the course. So it's like, I'm like, there's only, I can only Speedy Gonzalez my feet so fast. Like it was, that's super frustrating. I totally feel that.
Yeah. Yeah. I can only run so fast with 800 fucking pounds on my back.
Right.
You know what I mean? But, so my plan is to, even if they don't keep the same weight classes, I'll still go and do the Arnold just cause it's a really cool experience.
Yeah.
And it falls on my birthday weekend every year. So it's a really cool way to, so I turned 30 when I went to the Arnold for the first time. So that was a really neat experience,
nice.
You know, kind of a cool way to bring in my 30s. I'll go to the Arnold if I qualify. And then my goal next year is I would like to, I plan on doing USS, Nationals out. And I think it's, Boulder, Colorado or something like that. I can't, or Denver, Colorado. I can't remember. It's in Colorado, but either way. I plan on doing their Nationals competition in the men's under 275. And then after that, my plan is to cut down to the under 105.
Ooh, you're going with the 231 boys.
I really want my pro card. And the best way, in theory, for me to get my pro card is I would have to cut down. If either they start offering pro cards to 265 guys, or I cut down to 105, and I don't see them giving pro cards to 265 guys anytime soon.
Because there's just not as many of them, man. Like I feel like there's a lot of 231 guys. There's a lot of heavy guys, but that 265, kind of right in that range where you and me are at, like there's not a ton of people. But yeah, dude, the 231s are stacked as shit. We have at my gym that I own here in Lafayette, we got two of like the top 10 231s in the world train here. Justin Loy and then Tyler Pruitt are both at my gym. And it's crazy. And you'll probably be walking around at like 250. Like, I mean, I know Justin cuts like 30 pounds for that show.
Yeah.
He's 6'2", and so you're still running into that bullshit.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, That's going to be the hardest part is dropping the weight, and I think also accepting the fact that I'm probably going to lose a bit of strength. I'm naturally going to lose a bit of strength. Like there's no way about it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean you can't drop 30 fucking pounds and not lose strength unless you're doing shit behind the scenes that you know is supplementing or sort of it's almost like a what's the word I'm looking for? I can't think of it right now, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So I think that's going to be the biggest thing for me to accept. Like, okay, mentally, I'm going to have a hard time trying to be like, look, you're 30 pounds lighter. You're going to be, you know, not as strong in certain areas.
But you're going to be so much faster, though, too.
So much faster, in theory, so much better conditioned and stuff like that. So, you know, the trade-off, you know, it is what it is. But that's the point. I really want my pro card, and I think the best shot I have of getting it is if I cut to the 105 because, again, strongman is naturally a big boy sport. Mm-hmm. Like, it's especially in the open category. And I don't have the open frame. You have those outliers like Rob Kearney, who's like 5'9" and shit like that. And then, you know, even Dimitar. Dimitar was not very tall.
No, Dimitar was like 5'7".
He was like 5'10".
Yeah, but he was built like Jimmy Kolb.
Exactly. And he was always really good at static events. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? He was always really good at static events, but, you know, you get him moving and he wasn't the greatest.
Right.
I think it was Tuitas Lawless, if I'm not mistaken. He was like,
oh, Vitalis Lawless. Yeah, he was 5'10" too. That dude was like,
he was
wide like Dimitar, but he was like a damn V taper.
He was massive
in the shoulders.
Yeah. He was just an absolute fucking unit. But that's the thing. He was like an outlier to the outliers.
Right.
Like,
he was built, he was like a shorter version of, who's the new guy, that the Polish guy that's just built like a monster truck?
Polish guy.
I can't remember if he's Polish or if he's a... No, not Kieliskowski. He did the Arnold this year.
He's at the Arnold.
Hold on. 22 strongman. We're just going.
Oh, there were people there, weren't there?
He was okay. Here we go. Is it Evgeny Markov? Was that it? Hold on, I'm looking him up. I'm looking it up, and people are just gonna have to deal with it and enjoy the dead air for a second because I want to give y'all this person's name so you can look him up and just see what a freaking monster he is.
Are you sure he was at the Arnold?
I don't think this was him. Now I don't know who I'm talking about. But no, the dude, like, picture Vitalis Lawless, but picture him at like 6'6". Like, that's what this dude looked like. It was unbelievable.
Yeah,
he hurt himself on the delt or something, but yeah.
He's
a freak.
I think you're talking about, he's from the Ukraine.
That was it.
Yeah, fuck me, I can't remember. Because he was in powerlifting, so it's not Novikov, it's Pavlo.
Pavlo Nekonechny.
He's a fucking freak. Man.
That dude is built different. Like,
oh yeah,
it is not stupid how he's built.
So there's three Ukrainians that are in the world that are in the pro circuit. You have Alexei,
right?
But there's two Pavlos. You have Wide Pavlo, which is Pavlo Nekonechny. And then you have Handsome Pavlo, which is Pavlo Kordiak.
Wide Pavlo is who I was talking about.
Yeah, Wide Pavlo. That's what everyone refers to him as. Wide Pavlo. Have you ever heard him talk? His voice is fucking, it's terrifying.
Dude, I bet it just sounds like a growl. Like, I just picture this like crazy low booming, give you a heart attack voice.
Just imagine like the scariest looking and sounding Eastern European fucking, like, just
dude, he needs to learn English, and he needs to get in movies as like the top bad guy henchman.
I mean,
or like remake of Rocky V where he's Ivan Drago, right? Like something like that.
He's a freak, but he came from powerlifting. He competed in powerlifting and he went up against, at least over in that circuit, it was him and, oh my God, what's his name? I'm having, like, I can rattle off any strongman name when I'm not right. On the spot. But, he's from England. Let's see. Oh my God. But he hasn't competed in a while. It's, let's see. Oh my goodness. He's referred to as the future of strongman. For whatever reason, I can't think of his name, but him, he also came from, powerlifting as well. So those two had some history with one another on the, powerlifting circuit. And then they both came strongman and they both were making really big waves. But then, for both of them, injuries have just absolutely plagued.
Yeah, that's what happened to him at the Arnold, too. I think he screwed up his hamstring or something, but...
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he,
part of the game when you're at that level, I guess, but damn. All right, hey, man, we are over. We're at hour 15 right now. I got one more segment we got to roll through, though. This is underrated, overrated, specific to you. And one of them is a repeat from one of my previous episodes because you miraculously have the same thing happening. So you have to choose overrated or under. You cannot ride the line. There is no appropriately rated things. Okay. All right. Overrated, underrated. Chest tattoos.
Chest tattoos?
Yep.
Overrated.
Really?
Yeah, I have one, but like, dude, I'm gonna tell you right now. Unless you're talking about like, unless you're picking a certain body part that a very, 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 very small percentage of people that have it tattooed, I'm gonna probably go overrated because like everyone has a chest piece or like a chest tattoo or everyone has like arm tattoos and stuff like that. So right. I mean, like, I think. Honestly, just tattoos in general are kind of like overrated. They're fucking cool, obviously.
Right.
I put quite a lot of money into mine. But, you know, in the grand scheme of things, tattoos are, I mean, they're overrated. They are what they are, you know.
All right. That's fair. All right. I see you are you in a home gym now? I knew you used to lift that core quite a bit.
So I'm training at Warehouse Gym. Okay. In Franklin, and it's exactly what it sounds like. It's a small warehouse gym. That's where I do the majority of my training, but I do have a home gym set up in the back of my house. I don't do anything crazy back there. That's just kind of like one of those, it's just there for convenience sake. I have plenty of weight, but I'm not doing anything crazy back there. And then, warehouse gym is where I do the majority of my training.
All right, sorry. So I'm not going to do that one then. Okay, overrated or underrated? Crotch rockets.
Overrated.
What do you ride? Like, you ride like a Harley or something, right?
Well, not a Harley. I don't have Harley money, but I'm on a cruiser. It's my first bike, so it's a 2008 Suzuki Boulevard, and I fucking nice. Love it. You know, like it's. It's a big boy bike. It's a 1500cc. You know, it's not meant to fucking get up and rip it. You know, it's a good, comfy ride. I love it. Yeah. So Cross Rockets, though, I've never been a fan of. So definitely overrated.
Dude, I feel like, especially if you're a bigger dude, you sit too high on a crotch rocket. I feel like it would just tip over at all times.
Yeah. So they make Cross Rockets for big boys. I mean, just like the overall riding position that you're in. It's like you're hunched over the whole time and it just looks super uncomfortable. And it's just, definitely overrated for me. Even when I was going through the course, the motorcycle safety course, we were on, they were like sportsters. So, even those you're sitting up pretty tall and me being a top heavy guy, like I just felt like an absolute dummy on that thing. Like I couldn't like I just felt silly, you know, and but that's what they have you ride during the course. So balancing was a fucking bitch for me on those things because, goddamn, I weigh almost as much as it. You know what I mean? Like, right. So, I cruiser over a crotch rocket any day. So crotch rockets are overrated.
All right, moving on. Jorts.
Jorts, underrated. 100% underrated.
So do you have the barbell apparel jorts, or you're just making your own, like, legit jorts? I see you're in jorts quite a bit when you train.
Yeah, so I have a couple pairs that I have made myself. So just like a pair of raggedy ass fucking jeans that I bought, and I was just like, well, I don't wear jeans often, so I'm just going to cut these and, you know, make jorts out of them. And then I also have two pairs of the Born Primitive brand, and they're awesome. I initially bought a pair for me and a couple of my boys that I work with. We went on a Nashville trip a few years ago. And me being me, it's like, well, if I'm going to Nashville, I got to fit the part. You know what I mean? So I bought them. I bought them as just as part of like an outfit, you know, but I had read reviews and, you know, like they were designed for you to work out in as well. So I bought a pair as just kind of like for shipping gigs, really.
Right,
I wasn't going to take them too seriously. And I tried them on. I'm like, holy fuck. Like these are so comfortable. So I ended up buying another pair. So I have two pairs of the Born Primitive, and I absolutely love them.
Beautiful. Oh man, I had one other one that just came to my mind, but it's escaping me. That may be it for overrated, underrated. So, right, looks like it's a draw, man. Last guy that had a chest tattoo that was on the show, I asked him, and he thinks it's the coolest fucking thing in the world. So,
yeah. Well, so my chest piece was my first tattoo that I got was my entire fucking chest.
Oh, dang. You went big right out of the gate.
Yeah. So my first tattoo was my chest piece, and the outline alone took 6 fucking hours. So I was like, oh yeah. So it, I love my chest piece. Don't get me wrong. You know, that's my first tattoo. I think chest pieces are definitely, overrated. I think leg sleeves are underrated. So I think leg sleeves are cooler than chest pieces.
Yeah, they're definitely not as common. I think like arm sleeves are for sure the most common. And then like just one off stupid shit that people put on. But like chest piece is decently common. But yeah, I can't remember the last time I've seen like a full leg sleeve. I've seen a couple like half like lower leg sleeves. But
yeah. But like a full-blown leg sleeve, I think they're so fucking tight. I'm actually planning on starting mine here soon, one of them at least.
Right.
And I'm pretty stoked about that because my arms are done, my chest is done. The back piece would be pretty tight, but financially, that's a lot of fucking money, and I can't lose my back to take care of it. So kind of pick and choosing my battles here. So definitely starting on a leg piece. I think that's definitely way cooler than a chest piece. Chest pieces are cool, but they're everywhere, you know?
Right. All right, cool, man. Well, I think that's going to wrap us up for the show. I appreciate you coming on, man. I'm glad it was a good conversation. We definitely need to link up. I'll make you start swinging some random shit.
Yeah, for sure. Thanks for having me, man. Like I said, I was flattered when you asked. So just being able to catch up with you is pretty cool. So I don't get to see a lot of you guys too often, except for at competitions and stuff. So again, thanks for having me. And then we'll definitely need to work on getting together sometime soon for a workout.
What so let's see, your Instagram, give you a shout out here. We got heavy_metal_Leo. If you want to follow Sean on Instagram, I also have that in the show description. What else you got going on? You doing any like coaching or anything like that too? Or are you just lifting and working and not worrying about it?
No, I mean, like I'll go through spurts where I've offered online programming and stuff like that, but it's just, it's not really anything that I'm interested in, doing at the moment, you know, because I'm still so focused on my career and strongman and stuff like that, that it's just kind of hard to give that same amount of effort to someone else, because what will end up happening is when I did offer it and I did have clients was my training took a hit because I cared more about their progress than mine. And so you got to really just, you know, it's this stuff in and of itself is inherently selfish, right? You know, especially if you're competing and stuff like that. So I don't offer anything at the moment. And then as far as whatever else I got going on, really nothing. You know, I wake up, eat, work out, work, come home, eat again, sleep, and repeat. You know what I mean? It's pretty simple life. So I don't have anything special going on aside from that.
Cool, man. Well, again, thanks for being on the show. And you can find me on Instagram at strongman_Dan. Thank you all for listening, and check the description if you are looking to buy any gym equipment. We have affiliates down there as well. Take it easy.